The Lord is here. The Lord is here. All right, so we're going to go ahead. We're going to get started. We're going to go to Matthew today. And we're in chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. We're in Matthew. And it reads, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this word. God, we thank you, Lord, that you said that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, God. And you've come here today to tell us how we can be of work in your kingdom, Lord. In your world, Lord, how we can go out and make more disciples, God. And so, God, I pray that you would come into this space, Lord, that you would move me totally out of the way, that it would be your voice and not mine, that it would be your words and not mine, oh God, and that you would have your way in this place. So, God, we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. God, we honor you and we lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we're talking about how in Matthew is the first gospel, and it's talking about Jesus, his whole life. And in verses 6, I think it's 4 through 7, he begins his teachings. He starts teaching and preaching the word of God. And then when you get to chapter 8, he starts talking about all the miracles and the healings that he did all through 9, all the way to the end of this chapter, which is what we just read. And then he gets ready to send the disciples out. So he has modeled all of these things that he has called us to do. He has healed lepers. He's healed the centurion's servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He calmed the storm on the ship. He healed a man possessed by a devil. He healed a man with palsy. He sits with Matthew, who's a sinner publican, right? And he was judged for that. And then the people begin to question his doings. The Pharisees begin to question him because he's not abiding by the law. But we all know that he came to do what? To fulfill the law. And so as we're in this word, in the first verse that I read, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So he was about his father's business. And even though people were talking negatively about him and they were calling him all these things, he was still about his father's business. And so I wonder, I know me, it feels like sometimes I'm too Christian for the people. And I get to this point where I'm questioned because I always refer back to the Lord. And I can take that and I can carry that and say, man, like everyone is talking about me and this and that. Or I can be about my father's business and I can continue to walk in what the Lord has called me to walk in. And so as we get closer to persecution, they're going to start talking more and more about Christians and how bad we are. So will we be able to continue to carry that weight and be about our father's business as Jesus was here? No matter what they say, will you still be able to be about his business and what he has called you to, is the question. And so since Jesus was born up until now, he was raised to be about his father's business. You remember when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple and they were looking for him because he was lost for a few days. And his mother and father were like, "Where have you been? Like, you know, I'm supposed to be about my father's business. That's where I've been. I'm talking and preaching and teaching to the people. And I'm telling them about our Father in heaven." That was what his assignment was, along with dying for the whole world. But he had to build the steps. He had to have a foundation. And so do we all. We have to have a foundation of being about our Father's business. We've got to be in his word. We've got to be in so close to him that we know when it's him and telling us which way to go. We have to be about our Father's business. And so as we continue to talk about what he was doing, he was a church without walls. Jesus was. He was literally the church, walking around, going from city to city, synagogue to synagogue. He was going to all these places to preach and teach about the kingdom of heaven. He was a church without walls. He not only taught in the great and wealthy cities, but the poor and the obscure villages. There he preached and he healed. He didn't care what you looked like. He didn't care how much money you had. You was going to hear about this word. And he taught in the synagogues that he might bear witness to the assemblies, even then when there were corruptions in them. So even where there was corruption, he was like, nah, like I'm still going to preach the word of God. I can see the devil running around rampant in here, but I'm still going to preach the word of God. Because if nothing, Jesus, the name, God, the Father, can disrupt the corruption by itself, by himself. And so he taught in the synagogues that he might have an opportunity of preaching where people are gathered with an expectation to hear. Where is a place that you can go that you can preach the word of God? Y'all, I always play about this and y'all laugh at me, but in Walmart, there are people that need to hear Jesus. In Target, at, you know, wherever you go, at your job, there are people who need to hear about Jesus. And it is our responsibility. Pastor preached about this morning. He talked about decrease. He said, when we are in communion and conversation with someone who is not a believer, God is not going to hold them accountable because they don't know. He's going to hold the Christian accountable. He's going to hold us accountable. It's our responsibility. And so we can't sit here and have self-pity and be like, oh, well, I don't want to talk to them because they made me mad. No. Time out. Be about your Father's business. And then we had Pastor Ike last week. He talked about being ready when Jesus comes to pick us up. He talked about being ready. But y'all, while we're waiting, there is work that has to be done. My title is Harvest Mode, Workers Wanted. Who wants to work for Jesus? Anybody in here want to work for him? We got some hands. We don't got everybody. But anybody in here want to work for Jesus? There we go. Put their hand up. I want to work for Jesus. His compensation is endless. What he pays you is priceless. You can't get that anywhere else. And so the harvest is here. The harvest is plenty. There's plenty of work to do. If you don't got nothing to do at home, it's some work out there in the fields to go get. We got to be out there, y'all. And so when we were talking about just like being watchful, when Pastor Ike was preaching and he was just saying like, you have to be watchful and you have to be awake in the spirit. And in order to do that, people of God, we have to be doing the work. Being a laborer, this is down in my message a little bit later, but being a laborer is being a doer. It's not just sitting still. Yes, we're being watchful, we're being ready, we're waiting patiently as he comes, but there is the work that we have to do. If you got kids, that's work that you have to do. You got to prepare them. If you have grandkids, that's work. It's the little small things that's work. You're passing by somebody in Walmart and you feel their spirit, that's work. The harvest is plenty. There's plenty of work to do, y'all. And so he, in verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Compassion, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek word because it's hard, but it is the strongest word for pity. Jesus had pity on people because they had fainted because of the spiritual malnourishment. They were not being nourished by the leaders and the preachers in those times. They were desolate. You ever went to a church or anybody ever been under someone who they weren't preaching the word of God? I've seen it with my own eyes. You become malnourished in your spirit. You become depressed and broken. And you don't know why, because you're going to church every Sunday. You're going to church every Wednesday, but it's not hitting. Something's not happening, but it's because it's spiritual malnourishment. But God had compassion even on the preachers of those days. Even though they weren't obeying, they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, he still had compassion. He still cared. And so he continues to preach out and to pour out. And then those who were scattered abroad who had no sheep, had no shepherd, they were lost. They were lost sheep who had gone astray. And it's hard to bring somebody back unless they have a shepherd that's willing to say, hey, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. He was fully God and fully man. He performed all these miracles. He helped the woman at the well not have to thirst for the rest of her life. And you tell about all the things that he's done for these people in the Bible, but what about what he's done for you? He brought me out of drinking alcohol and all the things, and I was in such gratitude the other day. I was crying on the way to work, and I was like, God, thank you that I don't have that issue anymore. Thank you, Lord. And then I said, but help me work on these other things that I got going on, right? Because we're not ever free from sin. There's always something that we've got to work on. And so you have to continue to understand that just like we can't be judgmental in our own space because, oh, we're Christian, we come to church, I'm a preacher, minister. I can't do that. He had compassion. We have to have that same compassion. When we look in the mirror, what reflects should be Jesus. So if he had compassion and pity on those who are lost, so should we. And we should be the lifeline. We should be the one that's pouring into them to say, hey, you got this. And not judging people because of where they are. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few because we're stuck in ourselves. And so when we're talking about what was happening in the Bible, it sounds familiar for us today. Look at our world. Homosexuality, pride, all those things, it is rambunctious. In this world, the devil is running amok in the world. So when I say the harvest is plenty, I'm not just saying it. There are people out there outside of these walls that need the workers, the laborers in this room. And like I always say, y'all aren't going to do it the way I do it. You're not going to do it the way I do it. We all have a different way in which we perform the work. And so in that way, I may be able to help heal people, but it may not be with my hands. It may be with my words. What God gives to me, what the Lord gives to me is healing, right? And so you've got to know your gifts. Seek him for that so that you can labor in that work. And then it should, and I just feel like, you know, and I know that it does, but it should do something to us when we see pastors and preachers trying to make the word come alive with props, with props and things that don't matter. I don't need a trampoline on the stage to show you the word of God. The word by itself is enough. Because who's the word? Jesus is the word. And so it grieves my heart. It breaks my heart to see how we are perverting the word of God. The harvest is plenty and the workers are few, y'all. Because who's going to tell them? Who's going to call them to the carpet? Nobody in the congregation because they don't know. They're led astray. They're lost. So what do? We pray, y'all. We got to be in prayer. Some of us can't pray for 5 minutes, but there's so many things to pray for. Sometimes I get lost in prayer and I'm in there for 2 hours. I'm like, ooh, like what happened to the time? There's so many things to pray for, not just our own little world, but the world out there. Laborer. I'm a laborer, not just for my family, not just for me, but for all of you, for everyone outside of this building. We are laborers in Christ. We are to minister whenever we're called. When he taps you on the shoulder, and he's like, hey, go talk to that lady. Do it. You never know what that person is looking for and what that person is needing. So then we get to, I think this is verse 37. Yes, 37. The harvest itself. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few, but he forth laborers into his harvest. And so I've kind of gotten ahead of myself. Jesus urges his disciples to pray, right? And in Luke, in this part of the word, in Luke 6:12, there was an added piece that said that Jesus had stole away to pray and to go into solitude to pray all night. And so to my point of like, sometimes we can't pray past 5 minutes. Y'all, we got to pray past 5 minutes. We got to get into prayer. You can pray for people that you don't even know and change their hearts and their lives. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor was talking about decreasing today, and he was talking about how he must increase, so I must decrease, right? And he went to the scripture in Galatians, and it was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and you know, the verse before talks about all the things that are not of the Spirit. And he talks about witchcraft and how pharmaceuticals are, you know, from witchcraft. And so some of those things that are in there, we don't need. But y'all, there is a spirit. There is the devils have people that are performing witchcrafts now in the air. And so if we are not laboring, if we are not praying for people we don't even know, then the devil is preying on them through witchcraft, through the spirit, through all the things that are not of the Holy Spirit and of Christ. So again, I can't say it enough. The harvest is plenty. The workers are few. And so we have so much work to do, and we have little time in which to do it. And we as laborers, y'all, we are teachers, work, and we are called to be workers and laborers. It is an act and a deed that we have to do, but we have to show up for the job. So I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm trying to bring us together. We got to show up for the job. Get the job done. If we go out as groups and we go out to neighborhoods and pray, let's just pray over the neighborhood. Be the church without the walls. Go out and speak the word of God. They're looking for it. They don't even know they're looking for it, but they're looking for something that's going to make them feel alive again. And what they just don't know is that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to make them feel alive again. And so we have to be those people that can be the middle person between God and them to say, hey, this is what you need. His name is Jesus. The God in me loves the God in you. Let's do something and make it shake. Let's change the world for real. And we have to do it, but it requires obedience. It requires humility, and it requires obedience. So if I'm not obedient, I will be held accountable. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share it. I was at work, and I was in my last end of the year meeting. I work at a Christian establishment, just so you know. And I was, a friend of mine and I, we have been walking the school praying, walking the school and praying. And one of the people in my meeting said, you know, you could be doing something else. Like, I feel like there's another time that you could do that. I was like, what? And I was like, what you don't understand is if I don't go to the Lord first, and that was an act of obedience. That's what God said to do. If I don't be obedient, you all will suffer because of it, including myself. And I answered to him first. And I had to be bold, and I had to say that to my superiors. But all glory to God. Hallelujah. And so some people don't understand the level of what it means to be humble and obedient. And that does mean to come lowly. I didn't say it with pride. I said it with love. Because again, the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. The Lord told me to pray over the school because y'all are the harvest. Nobody else is doing it. So if I don't do it, who's gonna do it? And so God may be speaking to you about a situation, and it may not be in this church, it may be at work, where he is calling you to pray over a certain person or certain people, and you've got to be obedient because there's something on the other side that can't come forth unless your obedience matches up. But he will find somebody else if you don't do it. So don't be disobedient because of your own fleshly things. Don't be disobedient because you're tired and you don't want to do it. It's his desire, not ours. And eventually, the more that you do it, your desire will align with his. And you'll start to see a shift and a change in what you want and what you don't want. And then you'll start watching TV less. I used to talk to people on the way home every single day. And then now I'm like, I just want to sit in the quiet and talk to God. You know what I mean? And so we really got to get to a place where it's personal for you and get uncomfortable. Don't be comfortable in your own house. Get uncomfortable and branch out to other spaces where God is needed. And so as I get ready to close, I got to hurry, but as I get ready to close, my closing, I guess, like, point is go, G-O, go. Everybody knows what go means? Go? Yes. So in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus called to his disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. And throughout the rest of the chapter, he outlines the work. He tells us what to do. And so he said to preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And one thing that pastor said this morning is that the kingdom of heaven is this, his temple. This is God's temple. And he was talking about internally, that's who we are. We are part of the kingdom of heaven. And so we are at hand, y'all. Like, the devil wants us more than anything to add on to his minions. So he says, so preach that the whole temple of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said to cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. And he gave them intentional directives. Then he goes on to say, if you enter a house, you will not who will not receive your words, when you depart of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Now, did he say to argue with them? Did he say to gossip and talk about how they don't want to accept Jesus into their life? No. He said, shake the dust off your feet and go about your business. And so then in verse 15, he says, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. Let me read that again. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. If they don't accept what we're saying towards the Lord and letting them know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, if they don't accept it, God gonna handle that. That's none of our business. I used to argue and go back and forth. I'd be like, you don't understand Jesus. And I used to just go back and forth. And like, I got to a point where I was like, all I can do is be the messenger. That's all I am. Is to tell you who he is, tell him what he told me to tell you, and to go on about my business. And about 90% of the time they come back, Tierra, you know, and they say how they met Jesus along the way. And pastor said this morning, his message was decrease. If you didn't watch it, go back and watch it. He talked about decreasing. Y'all, it's the most important thing to make sure that we allow Jesus to increase inside of us and us to decrease. We cannot do this work if we are flipped. If I am more inside myself than Jesus is, then that's a problem. It needs to switch. And so that's the little stuff that I was talking about. Like, yeah, I don't drink alcohol anymore, but I still got issues. I still struggle. And I still have to pray every single day, Lord, increase so I can decrease. Lord, be more inside of me than I am. Like, ooh, let me sit that down. Because we get upset, y'all. We have those fleshly moments. We have anger, sadness, all the things. No. Let him increase. So go back and watch that message. So what do we do, though, y'all? What do? We go. So I want to ask you on today, who's willing to be that person to go and to be a laborer for Christ? He's hiring. He is hiring right now. And he's waiting on each and every one of you to show up. I see a lot of heads nodding. And I see some yeses. And I was going to bring everybody up here, but it's going to get crowded. But let's go ahead and rise up. I see you, baby. We got a young one in here. He said he's going to go out and he's going to labor in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So let's go ahead. Let's get ready to stand as I close. So if everyone's going to stand, y'all are committing that you're going to be a laborer for Christ, that you're going to go out and see the harvest. I'm going to talk to you after church. And we're going to be eager to go. This baby, he is eager. He's like, I'll raise my hand again. Be like a child like that, eager to go. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, you see all your laborers in this space, Lord. They said yes to you, Jesus. They have committed that they are going to take this word, God, that they're going to go out to your harvest, to the fields. Because when the harvest is not taken care of, it diminishes. So Lord God, we don't want the harvest to diminish no matter what the sin is. We all need you. We need somebody to labor for us. So Lord God, as we stand here before you, God, we stand before your throne. We look up to you, Jesus, and we say, I'll go. Here are your workers, Lord. Here is that few, God. I pray that you would give them the gifts that you have provided for them, Lord, that you would reveal them to them, Lord, so that they would go out into all the world and that they would heal the sick, that they would do the things that you said do. That their relationship with you would be strong. That they would sit in the time to pray and to talk with you and to truly get to know you so they know your voice when you speak, when you tap them on the shoulder, oh God. So Lord, we pray for the laborers right now, God. Touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Give them your peace, give them your love, give them the fruit of the Spirit, God. Help them to decrease as you increase, Lord. And help them, Lord, to roll up their sleeves so they can do this work that you have called them to. So God, we honor you, Lord. We lift you up and we magnify your glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was a really good word. I certainly hope that it blessed you and encouraged you that this is a dark world and we are called salt and light. And so let us go into the world and be that and show them the way to Jesus. I do have a few announcements. If you haven't had a chance to give, please know we always need your help. So there's numerous ways to do that on the screen. We have a movie night coming up on May the 29th at 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. It's going to be a movie called Forgiveness Girl. So please come out and join us for that. There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby. So if you're going to come, let us know and write how many that you're going to be bringing with you so that we can have a good head count. All right, well, we'll just go to the Lord one more time and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you so much for the word that you've given us today through Tierra. We ask, Lord, that we would just be encouraged and not be afraid to tell the world about you, Lord. Let this be on our mind this week to find somebody to just be open and to be usable and let you speak through us to whoever it is that you want us to reach out to. And Father, we thank you so much for the honor and privilege of having the Holy Spirit in us and being able to share it with others. Lord, we thank you so much again for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.